At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian. Co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Thor Nystrom. Hey.
What's going on, Paul? Twice. I've seen you twice in the last couple days here.
I know. It's weird. Twice in the last couple hours, for Pete's sake.
See you down at the fantasy feast, or the football feast there.
Yeah.
Hanging out with my new friends, Rich and Josh.
Yeah. Wasn't that nice? You make friends easily.
It was. They're good guys.
Yeah. Well, you bought their beer.
No, Thor, the exact opposite.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You can't really be any hotter than you have been so far in the show. You have absolutely
calm it down, Charge.
Jeez. Some of your early preseason picks, and we're excited to see what you've got on tap over the course of the show. We'll have three tough questions like we always do. We'll give you nine players upon whom you can take a chance. We'll give you premature speculation players to pick up, including, at least I'm very excited about my player. I think I know who you guys are going to go with, too. These are some great opportunities. Hope to work in the Jameson Williams news if you want to pick him up a week early.
If you can.
Yeah, we'll find out if we'll talk about that a little bit as well. So plenty to get to over the course of the show. Of course, we give you letter grades on every meaningful player as we break down every matchup. We begin with the London game.
Yes.
Falcons taking on the Jaguars. This is the Drake London in London game. There we go.
Drake London in London.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We can start on that side of the ball where I'm leaving Desmond Ridder on the bench. I'm sorry. I know the Jags have a bottom 10 pass D and have allowed multiple scores to all three quarterbacks they played, but they haven't played Desmond Ridder.
All right.
Yeah, this should help improve their rank this week. Ridder averaging like 184 passing yards a game. He's not doing too well. You weren't even considering him.
Sneaky landing spot for Kirk Cousins, just saying.
Yeah. That's the rumor out there that you're pushing. Actually, there are lots of other people saying that kind of stuff too. Drake London, I am giving the C grade too, though, because I want Drake London to score a touchdown in London. That's most of my data there. No, but top wide receiver target getters against the Jags have all gone for 70 plus yards. All three of them scored. It's an okay spot for him, giving him a C grade though, just because it's a decent pasty. It has been so far anyway. Against wide receivers, I should say. Kyle Pitts also getting a C grade here. I know. You're looking at me like you should just bench him.
And because he had a good game in London 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did. He did. He had 9 for 119 yards and one touchdown two years ago in London.
The best game of his career two years ago.
Exactly. It was 2 years ago. Actually, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with just the tight end landscape is absolutely garbage this year. And he's probably the best tight end you have on your roster. Every bit about his metrics, his talent, his usage, everything screams good. He got 9 targets last week. But guess what? Only 53% of his passes, passes to him, are catchable. Mm-hmm. Like if Desmond improves just the slightest tick, he should be able to notch down a C grade.
Donald Parham's better.
I don't think you're wrong. Donald Parham, at least, he's tied for the league lead in red zone or targets inside the 5 yard line. You have a decent chance of a touchdown with Donald Parham.
There's that.
Over on the other side of the ball, We got Trevor Lawrence. I'm giving him a D grade. Is that okay, Charge?
No, that's not okay. You have A. Here, allow me to reiterate, because Thor's new.
Yeah, he's a bad example for me.
You have a choice of A, B, C, and bench. That's okay. Four opportunities to place your guy in the right spot.
All right.
Where are we putting Trevor Lawrence?
So Trevor Lawrence, he's playing a Falcons D that held Jordan Love, Bryce Young, and Jared Goff each to their worst passing days of the year. So it's not actually a great matchup. It's one of the lowest over-unders of the week. He's looked off so far, Trevor Lawrence has. Because it's such a tough grade, I'm giving it the dart throw grade.
That would be a C, typically, because you're saying he's startable, but...
He's startable. He's got the weapons. I think he can overcome, unlike those... I consider him a better quarterback than those three. Maybe not Goff, but, you know, better than Love and Bryce Young. I'll give him the C grade. Fine, I'll bump it up. Travis Etienne, A grade. The Falcons allowed 98 yards to Miles Sanders, 82 to Jahmyr Gibbs, and even A.J. Dillon. Yes, 2023 A.J. Dillon somehow had 63 yards on them. the only bugaboo is Falcons have only allowed an RB to score once and just eight receptions. That's not a lot of passing work, but Travis Etienne gets 72% of the opportunity share, about four pass catches per game. That's going to boost you up. I got him with a B. I could move him up to an A, though, just because that volume is high, and it's going to be a low-scoring close game where he should get a decent amount of work. Tank Bigsby on the bench. I know he's converted two of his three carries inside the five-yard line, but his snaps keep going down. His touches keep going down. He's just on the bench for now. Over to the passing game, or over to the wide receivers, Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk.
Yeah. We're tanks for nutches.
I love that you got multiple tank.
Well, we have the good and the bad
the
tank
good
sounder.
And the bad.
Right, and unfortunately, the bad tank sounder is winning right now.
Yeah, so with Zay Jones missing last week, he's also going to miss this week. Christian Kirk really bumped up his snap share. It was only 60% week one. It's been over 81%, 86% the last 2 weeks, and he's really delivered with an 11-catch, 110-yard performance and a 4-catch, 54-yard and a touchdown performance. I expect much of the same here. I have Calvin Ridley also with a C grade. Two straight duds for Ridley, but he dropped four passes last week. Dropped two passes. Drops are not a sticky stat. He dropped what should have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Without those, he would have had much, much, much better days. He doesn't look like the guy that he did in week one and in the preseason. I expect him to at least bounce back a little bit, so I'm at least giving him the C there.
Tricky matchup with A.J. Terrell is turning into one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, when the Falcons drafted him that first year, they avoided passing his way, and yeah, he's pretty decent. Evan Engram, C grade. I think we got to kind of watch him now. 5-plus catches in all three games, 49, 57, and 67 yards. He's going into the week before last night, or before Thursday night, excuse me. He was right there with Laporta. Laporta had 18 catches, 186 yards. Engram, 18 for 173. They were right in the same zone. The only problem is Evan Engram, zero red zone targets this year. Yeah. That's not helpful at all.
Dallas Goedert, by the way. Zero red zone targets.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
It is.
It's just downright weird. So C grade on him.
All right. Dolphins take on the Bills, Thor. Dolphins scored 10 touchdowns last week and are underdogs in Buffalo. So this is a quad. Now, you're new to the show. We don't chase last week's box score.
Yep.
We got to look at this Dolphins-Bills game as its own entity. Let's start on the Dolphins side. What do you got?
I don't think they're scoring 70 again, but this is a really good fantasy matchup.
Bold.
So we'll start with Tua, fantasy QB4 so far this season. Mm-hmm. Number one passing grade in the NFL. Number one big-time throw rate in the NFL. Solid matchup here. Bills have allowed the 10th highest adjusted completion rate in the NFL. Last year, the Bills allowed the second highest adjusted completion rate on throws 20-plus yards downfield. Obviously, the Dolphins' offense is explosive. Tua is an A. Tyreek Hill, obviously a weekly must start. Tyreek Hill on pace for 2,335 receiving yards.
That's pretty good.
This year, pretty good. So he's obviously an A, as is Jaylen Waddle. Sterling, 18.1% air yard share so far this season, 3.04 yards per route run.
That's excellent.
For Waddle. Yep. And last year, if you guys recall, both games the Dolphins played the Bills, Jaylen Waddle went up over 100 receiving yards both times. So he's an A as well. Julian Hill, the tight end the Dolphins have been using the most.
No.
You can't start him. The running back situation, of course, very interesting in Miami right now. I'm going to give both Mostert and Achane, as we've learned, is the pronunciation.
Who apparently has decided after every four touchdown game, he's going to change the pronunciation of his name.
Oh, so this is it then?
Yeah, this will probably be it.
After the game he just had, that's cool with me. But you know, as for Mostert, obviously he's in the timeshare with Achane. Mostert played 51% of the snaps last week. He is the team's clear pass down running back. Mostert, top five in explosive run rate, top 10 in missed tackles forced per attempt.
Excellent.
I'm giving him a B, especially in this matchup where, and you guys know how topical this is going to be, the Bills are coughing up the second worst explosive run rate in the NFL so far. So that's topical to both Mostert and Achane.
Yep.
As for Achane, you guys remember 22 touches, 233 total yards on 41% of the snaps last week. Achane, number one in the NFL in missed tackles forced per attempt, yards after contact per attempt, and PFF grade for qualifying running backs. I mentioned that the Bills run defense gives up home runs regularly. I have to give them a B just because, you know, the timeshare, but both those guys, it's a good matchup for. Moving to the Bills, Josh Allen, obviously a weekly must start. He's an A here. Number five in fantasy points per dropback since week two. Mm-hmm. You guys recall the week one dud.
The Jets, yeah.
Clearly an aberration there for Allen. Miami has an average pass defense. They rank number 15 in both yards per attempt allowed and passer rating allowed. Stephon Diggs, weekly must start. He's an A here, top five in the NFL in first read share. Gabe Davis, I'm going to give him a C. He's been about what we expected so far. I think you guys would agree. Wide receiver 40.
For Scott and I, yes, he has been what we expected, but we both thought he was going to have a much better year than last year. So we were both buying Gabe Davis in the preseason. He's been better than he was last year by a margin.
For sure. Yeah, and this one, most of his routes are going to come against the Dolphin cornerback Xavien Howard and Kadir Kahou. Howard, 72.7 catch rate against. Kahou, 82.4 catch rate allowed on targets.
Not good.
Gabe Davis could have a solid game here, but I'm giving him a C just because those targets are going to be going to Diggs. I also have to give a C to both Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. We have a bit of a quagmire situation here. I was hoping the Bills were going to go to 12 personnel on every single play. That has not happened yet. They love running out the different formation every single time, so one of those guys can end up on the bench on any given snap. When they're out there and they're used on routes, the Bills aren't really using them. Dalton Kincaid was a guy in college who the utility was downfield catching.
Yeah.
He only has a 3.6 ADOT right now.
That's not good.
So he's just be using as a dump off. As for Knox, 0.61 yards per route run. Not great. You can't trust either of those guys right now. But in a deeper league, they would potentially be startable if you didn't have another option. And lastly, James Cook, giving him a grade of A here. 111.3 total yards per game on average on 60% snap share. But he only has one of Buffalo's seven carries so far this season inside the five-yard line. But on the other hand, the Dolphins cough up the fourth highest yards per reception to running backs. James Cook, obviously a very skilled receiver, so a decent matchup for him. We just hope we can get a little more carries inside the five.
This was exactly the worry about James Cook going into the season that we articulated repeatedly is, what's the touchdown total going to end up being? Is he get sitting in like a six touchdown year? And I think it's going to play out about that way.
Yeah. You want a crazy Tua stat I heard this week, and I double checked to make sure it was accurate. Through the first 3 weeks last year, he was 72 for 101 with eight touchdowns.
72 what?
72 completions.
Oh, 72% completion rate.
Okay. No, 72 completions out of 101 attempts.
Oh, okay.
And eight touchdowns and two interceptions. This year, 72 completions, 101 attempts, eight touchdowns, two interceptions.
Oh, wow.
The yardage is about 100 off.
I had forgotten he started that hot last year, too.
Almost the exact same start as last year.
And then right around now is when he had his first concussion.
Yeah. We've got to pray for health this year.
Vikings take on the Panthers. Vikings side's getting to be pretty easy. Kirk Cousins, TJ Hockenson, and Justin Jefferson are just now obvious A's. All of them producing at top three levels at their position. Nothing about the Panthers suggests a different outcome here. Let's go to the murkier guys, including Jordan Addison. Now, I love that his snap count has risen in three straight games. 36 snaps to 40 snaps to 56 snaps last week. Still trailing KJ Osborne in snap count, but heading in the right direction here. And, of course, the Panthers are without star cornerback J.C. Horn, who's still on IR, and the outside starters C.J. Henderson and Dante Jackson, both allowing a passer rating of at least 116. So there's optimism for Jordan Addison, who I'm putting a B grade on in this game. Alexander Mattison comes in with a B grade. Even if Cam Akers is active, Mattison should get most of the work. And he will be active, by the way. They've announced as much. Should get most of the work in a very plus matchup. Carolina's allowed multiple running back scores in every game this season, allowing the second most on the entire year. Their inside linebacker, Frankie Louvu, left last week's game with a hip injury, and Shaq Thompson is on injured reserve. Carolina ranks 23rd in run stopping by Pro Football Focus. I like Alexander Mattison in this game.
I also heard they weren't planning on playing Cam on passing downs, at least not for this week.
That which would make sense as well, actually. That's a more sophisticated sort of route pickups and things that he'd have to do with that, pass protection and other things. For Carolina, I originally had an A grade on Adam Thielen, but now with the news that it's going to be Bryce Young as the probable starter here, everybody in the passing game goes down a notch because, honestly, Dalton was better, right? I mean, the Panthers offense played their best game last week under Dalton, but still, Bryce Young startable here. I've got a C grade on Bryce Young just because the Vikings secondary is so soft right now. Minnesota allowing a staggering 76% completion rate. They rank dead last in pass rush by Pro Football Focus. They've only generated 14 quarterback pressures per game. It's not nearly good enough, especially for a team blitzing as much as the Vikings are. Bryce Young will have time to scan the field, find his receivers. In a pinch, you could go to Bryce Young this week. Back to Adam Thielen, B grade. Revenge game, obviously, as he plays Minnesota. He's coming off back-to-back solid games. Really blossomed with Dalton last week. Again, wish Dalton was playing here. 14 targets last week. Thielen remains an elite goal-to-go receiving threat, just like he was in Minnesota. Primarily playing the slot for Carolina. The Vikings just got nuked out of the slot by Keenan Allen last week, who exploited a half dozen different Vikings DBs trying to guard him from the slot. B grade for Adam Thielen. C grade for DJ Chark as an outside option here. He runs from the outside, where he's going to see cornerbacks Caleb Evans the most and a little bit of Mekhi Blackmon. Evans has allowed touchdowns in consecutive games. Blackmon has allowed an 86% completion percentage, both positive for DJ Chark, who you could give a try on. Miles Sanders, you're going to want to follow this. He's got a groin injury. He was a Friday missed practice. We don't like guys to get downgraded on Friday. You're heading the wrong direction into the weekend. This groin injury is a very real threat to re-injure for running back because you have to do all the cutting. Sanders has experienced a decline in carries and yards per game in every game this year. Panthers' run blocking has been bad. That hasn't helped him either. He is a capable receiver, but this is one thing the Vikings defense has been great at. They've allowed the second fewest receptions to running backs, the fewest receiving yards to running backs, and have not given up a touchdown to running backs. So if Sanders, even if Sanders starts the game, he still gets a bench grade. Now, if he's out, Chuba Hubbard presumably gets like all the work, and he would turn into a C grade in that event. When we come back, nine players upon whom you can take a chance. Find out who these guys are. Maybe you have injuries. Maybe you have illness. Maybe you've got underperformers. We're going to dig up some deep dives for you to inject into your lineup when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Chance on me, nine players, not normally in your starting lineup. These are all guys, well, in many cases, you can pick up off the waiver wire, inject into your lineup for possible success this weekend. We begin with the quarterback position and Scott Fish.
I like that you say nine players, and I'm going to give you two quarterbacks.
Wow.
Because I have to hedge here. I have to hedge.
All right.
Derek Carr is
if
expected
starts,
to play.
Yes.
If he starts, he gets the ninth easiest matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who allow 277 yards and two full if you count the rushing. Two touchdowns per game to the quarterback position. Derek Carr had 304 yards and 228 yards in his two full games, and his weapons will be healthier, getting Kamara back as well. The other option here is Jimmy Garoppolo, who also might not play. So hopefully,
I thought you were going to go Jameis Winston. Same game.
No. I'm going with two guys that you hope play. Okay. One of them, they both have great matchups. Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Chargers. They rank fourth worst in defensive DVOA. Jimmy G is second in 15 plus yard throws. He's really getting the ball deep down there.
Maybe it was Kyle Shanahan that was holding him back the whole time.
He's been in concussion protocol, but he practiced the last 2 days of the week. Chargers allowing an average of 360 yards and 2.7 scores per game on their way to being the worst against fantasy quarterbacks. Hopefully one of them goes and go pick them up because I'm sure those two guys are available.
Well, they probably are, actually.
Derek Carr, Jimmy G, yeah.
All right, your take a chance on me quarterback, Thor Nystrom.
Last segment, we talked about the Bills and the Dolphins, which is the obvious fantasy game of the week.
Yes.
I think the Colts and the Rams is the sneaky,
non-obvious fantasy game of the week.
Yeah. So with that being said, Matthew Stafford is my take a chance on me quarterback. Number six in passing grade this year for Matthew Stafford. Number nine yards per attempt for Matthew Stafford this year.
It.
And this is a really good matchup, as we're sort of alluding to. The Colts are allowing the fourth most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, that's a nice start for him. I'm going to go Russell Wilson taking on Chicago. This is, for all the problems the Broncos have, like none of it is on Russell Wilson. He's thrown multiple touchdowns and or 300 passing yards in every game. The Bears secondary in ruins with injury and ineptitude. They've allowed seven passing touchdowns already. Two of Wilson's three receivers have got strongly positive matchups in this game. Chicago's pass rush ranks 30th by Pro Football Focus, and they've generated one sack and seven quarterback hits in three games. Think about how bad that is. Mm. Unbelievable. Let's go to the running back position. Scott Fish.
Yeah, so I have Elijah Mitchell here. The San Francisco 49ers against the Arizona Cardinals, they're more than two touchdown favorites. Now, I will say Dallas didn't do so well against that matchup last week.
Rico Dowdle probably sounded pretty good last week.
And Dowdle actually didn't do too bad last week. So Elijah Mitchell, more than two touchdown favorites. CMC likely to get some rest here where Mitchell can come in. He did see 14 touches last week in a similar game script where they won by, 16 points or whatever it was. 19 points, I believe it was. Saw 14 touchdowns in a similar game script last week. And the Cardinals, sixth worst against fantasy quarterbacks. Running backs.
All right, Thor, you're taking a chance on me running back.
Speaking of Rico Dowdle.
Sorry, mowed your lawn a bit there.
Yeah, and going along the same thought process that Fish had for his, obviously Dowdle is Tony Pollard's handcuff, but I think he could have standalone value in this game against the Patriots. Dowdle is playing really well in his limited looks. Number 16 in PFF grade for running backs this year. You guys mentioned his game last week, 46 total yards on seven touches, and Rico scored his first career touchdown. If the Cowboys throttle the Patriots in this game, which is definitely in play, Dowdle could threaten 15 touches.
Also, just to help his point, New England and Dallas are number one and number two in pace of play, so there's going to be a lot of plays, a lot of opportunity.
Man, I would never guess the Patriots were that high in pace of play.
They picked it up this year.
They really have. You're going to love this one, Thor. Roschon Johnson.
Let's go.
There it is.
Denver.
Let's go.
Yeah,
love
baby.
It. Love it.
Broncos ranked 31st against the run by Pro Football Focus. They rank dead last in tackling. Shockingly, Chicago.
They only have 12 tackles on the year.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Shockingly, Chicago's offensive line holds the league's second best run block win rate. I never would have guessed that. A 76% win rate behind Philadelphia. Come on. How is the Bears offensive line doing that? Broncos have been gashed by opposing running backs through the air, allowing the fifth most running back receptions, the most running back receiving yards, and the most running back receiving touchdowns. And Johnson's been shockingly active in the Bears passing attack, averaging 18 routes per game. Roschon Johnson. Now, when this one hits Thor, it'll complete some kind of trifecta that you have for preseason predictions for you.
I love it.
Let's go to the receivers. Boom. Scott.
So I originally had Josh Palmer in this spot because I think he's got a good spot. And then I noticed that Jakobi Meyers is 40% started this week. What is going on with that?
Yeah, people don't realize how good Jakobi Meyers is.
I think he's boring to people or something. I don't know what it is, but 10-plus targets and 7-plus catches and 80-plus yards in both games. He's got that McDaniel, Jimmy G, Meyers connection from New England. Chargers have allowed 6 wide receiver touchdowns on their way to being second worst against wide receivers. And he's got good matchups. He's either going against Asante Samuel Jr. or Michael Davis, both allowing 113.4 passer rating, the other 149.2 passer rating against it. Just a good spot for him.
I like it. Meyers, by the way, not only are fantasy owners missing the Jakobi Meyers thing, how about general manager Bill Belichick, who basically traded in on even contracts Jakobi Meyers, letting him leave and bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster.
Not good.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thor Nystrom, your final take a chance with me player.
We're going back to the well in that Rams-Colts game. I'm going with Tutu Atwell, who people out there might be surprised. He is wide receiver 12 in half-point PPR scoring so far this season. Tutu has drawn at least 8 targets in every single game so far this season. His role is not changing. Mm-hmm. I think he's becoming a weekly must-start type of player. He certainly is this week against a terrible Colts pass defense that's already allowed 13-plus PPR fantasy points to multiple opposing receivers twice this season. So usually 2 receivers are going to eat when they play the Colts. I think that's happening again this week.
Totally with you on that. You know, when Cooper Kupp comes back, and now it sounds like he's going to start practicing next week, things will get a little bit trickier, but Atwell's not running from the slot at all, basically. Yeah. So he'll stay on the field.
And he's the burner. They don't have another guy to fill his role once he does. Yeah.
Great point. Nico Collins is a longtime favorite of this show, and we're going to go right back to him here against Pittsburgh. Currently 10th in receiving yards through 3 games. The average yards of separation Collins creates on his receptions, 4.5 yards. Ooh. That is over 1.5 yards more than league average. So he's getting open. Pittsburgh's defense has allowed the second most rushing yards to this point. So there is somewhere Houston could do the damage on the ground, but the Houston running game has not been able to generate much to this point. Collins is a great matchup on the outside against Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson. Wallace just got thumped for 104 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. Meanwhile, Patrick Peterson is giving up a passer rating of 144 and has given up 3 touchdowns already.
Yeah. Oof.
So Nico Collins, I'm very, very intrigued. Let's go back to the matchup. Steelers taking
Texans.
Yeah, same game. Let's go to the Steelers side for the start on this one. And what has been an absolutely brutal start for basically every Steeler you could have possibly drafted.
We had so much high hopes for this Steeler offense, the way they looked in preseason against basic vanilla defenses and backups. We just thought they'd be so – that would translate. But at least Kenny Pickett hit through his first multi-score game last week. So I guess I jinxed that streak when I talked about it last week, how he'd got 15 straight weeks with 1 score. He basically needs it because he throws 220 to 235 yards every single game. So if he doesn't get that second score, he's not worth a start. And I'm just going to say he's not worth a start here. I know the Texans are 25th in defensive DVOA, but despite that low rank, they bring the heat, having a 7th best pressure rate in the NFL. I don't know that offensive line and Kenny Pickett can handle that heat.
Probably not.
So I have... I basically only have a couple grades here. I have George Pickens with a C grade. He's going to need a big he's either going to need that 1 touchdown from Pickett, or he'll need a big play. But he just gets tons of targets. He's the target and yardage leader since Deontay Johnson went out. Only 1 wide receiver has topped 60 yards against the Texans. But if he's seen near double-digit touchdowns, that volume alone should 4, 5, 6 catches. He's going to get in that C grade.
Yeah.
In the run game, man, Jaylen Warren, I had more hope, but he just didn't get it done last week.
No, and he didn't get that many carries. It's like they doubled down on Najee Harris.
Yeah, they're like, let's keep going to that Najee Harris well. So I can't trust in Jaylen Warren, and I'm still going to give Najee the C, but you could tell me to bench him, and I would do it.
Not against Houston, I'm not going to tell you to
here's,
bench him.
Yeah, exactly why. Seventh worst against backs, Zach Moss and Travis Etienne just dropped 100-plus in each of the last 2 weeks. Just that 13 touches for 47 scoreless yards being his average is just gross, though. But he should get the volume C, and it's a better matchup. Over on the other side, C.J. Stroud. I could tell you I have Freiermuth on the bench. I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns, but he's got 5 catches on the year.
I know.
Like, he's just
so
not getting any volume.
That they're not using him better.
Yeah.
And more.
C.J. Stroud, I have a C grade on. Steelers rank 8th in defensive DVOA, 5th highest pressure rate, all both good spots. But I think C.J. Stroud has looked really, really good.
And
Jimmy G just went for 342 and 2 on them. Mm-hmm. And I think C.J. Stroud is at least Jimmy G level. So he looks good. So I'm going to give him a C grade here. Damian Pierce, I have the D grade dart throw. You said that's okay, right? No.
No, it's not okay.
Okay.
You can give him a C grade if you want.
I'll give him a C grade.
And a dart throw.
He's
not a dart throw guy.
I'll give him a C grade. His negative yards over expectation is one of the 5 worst in the league, 5 worst in time spent behind the line of scrimmage. But McCaffrey, Jerome Ford, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, they all did really great work against the Steelers. They're 8th worst against running backs. It's a good spot. I'll give him a C. Hopefully he finally
Steelers
shows up this
week. Steelers are giving up 5.5 yards per carry. If this Houston offensive line can't give Damian Pierce some room to work with here, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's exactly what I was going to say. Like, this is the spot for Damian Harrison. If it isn't, I'd be really, really worried. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins, your take a chance on me player. I also like Tank Dell. I got the C grade on him too. Both of them looking good. They both get plus matchups because they'll switch on Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson. And you've already talked about the salient points about them. Robert Woods is going to get Chandon Sullivan there in the slot. It's the 5th easiest matchup for wide receivers. Davante Adams, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper all torched them. The smaller speedy guys, the Debo and Myers dropped 55 yards and 85 yards. They're both very wildly viable here in this matchup.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Thor, our final matchup of this segment, Rams taking on the Colts, as you alluded to earlier. Well, you didn't allude. You said it outright, and you're right. There's sneaky points to be had here. You've already touched on Tutu Atwell. Tell me about the rest of the passing game here for the Rams. And Matthew Stafford, you already hit that too.
Yeah, my two take a chance on me, guys. Moving to Puka Nacua, grade of A, weekly must start already. Wide receiver 7 in fantasy thus far. Number 4 in first read share in NFL.
Love it.
Another big game is coming for Puka this week. Indianapolis is a zone-heavy coverage defense, and they're not a good one. Puka's the Rams zone beater. We've already seen that this year. He has a 43.9 first read share against zone and also 3.44 yards per route run against zone coverage. And as I mentioned before, the Colts have already allowed 6 different wide receivers to score at least 13 PPR fantasy points this year and multiple ones in 2 games. So Puka's a good, obviously a must-start. Tutu is a good matchup as well. Keep Van Jefferson on your bench or preferably cut him at this point.
Yep.
Tyler Higbee, I'm going to give him a grade of B. He does have a solid 15.4 first read share this year, and this is also a good matchup for him. Indianapolis allows the 8th most receiving yards to opposing tight ends. Moving to Brian's boy, Kyren Williams.
Mm-hmm.
If there's such thing as a volume B grade,
there's a B grade.
Okay.
I mean, that's available. You can just use B.
Fish is a bad influence on me.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Well, the volume C is a C grade. I'm just clarifying that it's because he's going to get volume. I don't actually love him.
Kyren's a sort of a better version of that. 95% plus snaps each of the last 2 weeks. Here's a crazy stat. There's only been 5 games in the NFL this year where a running back has taken every rushing attempt, the carry from their team in that game.
Does he have 2 of the
2
5?
2 of them were Kyren's last 2 weeks, so that's kind of crazy. And he's still playing at numerous special teams units.
Wild.
So I don't know how that kid's been, you know, doing it or how long he can stay healthy.
So let's assume he does go down. Do I want Evan Hall? Not Evan Hall, sorry. Zach Evans.
I think that would be the next one up at this point.
I think so, too.
Yeah, at this point. The play, though, for Kyren has been a little bit mediocre. You know, and this goes back to his athletic limitations and stuff like that.
Yep.
He's averaged 82.5 total yards in those two games, even though he's getting all the snaps, getting the opportunities. He's outside the top 40 in missed tackles forced per attempt and yards after contact per attempt. There's only 50-some qualifiers for that. So he's down near the bottom. He is an absolute sell-high candidate.
Agreed.
If you can get anything for him in trade, like
you can get a lot for Kyren Williams right now.
I would move
just him. Because people are so desperate at running back.
Yeah,
I agree.
The usage for sure is going to be there, but yeah, I have questions about the other stuff. Moving to the Colts side, Anthony Richardson coming back from the concussion. I give him a grade A in this matchup. Only 28th in the NFL in passing grade to this point, but number one in the NFL in fantasy points per dropback.
Yep.
The Rams have a good pass defense, but as you guys know, Richardson's legs set an extremely high floor in every game from a fantasy perspective and a top three ceiling weekly in terms of that.
You'd mentioned the fantasy points per dropback. Fantasy points per snap, he's at 0.46 per fantasy points per snap, which
that's
means he snaps the ball, he gets you half a fantasy point.
Yeah, right. No matter, he could be handing it off.
Yeah.
And he got you half a point.
It's unreal.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I'm going to give Michael Pittman an A grade as well in this one. Wide receiver 12 in fantasy. He's proven the past couple years he is quarterback proof. It does not matter. He is going to produce. Pittman has scored at least 13.6 PPR fantasy points in every game this season. This is a great matchup for him as well. The Rams predominantly run zone coverage. Pittman versus zone coverage has a crazy 41.2% target share.
Wow, that's huge.
Huge. Josh Downs, I'm going to give him a C. He has a solid 20% first read share as Indianapolis is starting slot this season. And he has a good matchup here against Kobe Durant, the opposing nickel. Durant has allowed a 71.4% catch rate and 101.5 passer rating against. You're going to keep Alec Pierce and Kylan Granson on your bench. I'm going to give Zach Moss, though, an A, rounding this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Last two games, Zach Moss, 76% plus snaps both times for an average of 126 total yards per game. The Rams' run defense is not good. They're allowing the 10th most yards after contact per attempt. As we all know, Moss is a tackle breaker.
Yeah, well, that's what I was telling everybody when he was in Buffalo, and I was like, he's going to get use in Buffalo, which never panned out. People are still bitter with me. Now he's getting his opportunities. Maybe it's only for like one more game, but we'll find out. When we come back, more matchups for you, including the Broncos taking on the Bears. These are two of the arguably the worst and the second worst defense playing against each other. So opportunities abound. We'll tell you about that matchup when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Thor Nystrom with you. Broncos take on the Bears, two of the worst defenses in the league playing each other. Russell Wilson was already my take a chance on me quarterback. Let's go to his receivers. I got an A grade on Jerry Jeudy with a phenomenal matchup running largely out of the slot against cornerback Josh Blackwell, who gives up a 119 passer rating and has yet to force an incomplete pass. So it's a really nice opportunity for Jerry Jeudy. A grade for him. B grade for Cortland Sutton against the secondary. Sutton likely gets shadow coverage from the only good Bears cornerback, Jalen Johnson. He's giving up just 24 scoreless yards in his coverage per game, so I can only do the B grade on Cortland Sutton. But Marvin Mims, B grade, and this could be a biggie here. He's your Hail Mary home run threat.
They just need to play more.
They know that's the catch. It's like he's on the field like 15 snaps a game, but a dream matchup against rookie cornerback Tyreek Stevenson. He's allowing an almost perfect passer rating in his coverage of 148, including touchdowns in back-to-back games. Let's try a little Marvin Mims here. Let's get staying with the passing game. Adam Trautman, zero catches in back-to-back weeks, so he's nothing more than a desperation dart throw. But he's running a ton of routes, and Chicago's allowed the third most tight end receptions and three different tight ends of top 40 yards. So in the tight end wasteland, yeah, I'm going to go C grade on Adam Trautman. Lastly, Javonte Williams. I like him here. Bears allowing the 10th most rushing yards and the second most receiving yards to opposing backs. It's 157 total yards per game. Javonte Williams is going to get most of that. The Bears have also given up almost 2.5 touchdowns per game to opposing running backs, second most. Javonte Williams seeing 44% of the snaps will take him here. This should be a good opportunity for him. Let's go to the Chicago side. Roshan Johnson was my take a chance on me running back. Khalil Herbert clocks in with a C grade, averaging 5 more snaps than Roshan Johnson, along with a couple more carries. But of note, Johnson out-carried Herbert last week by one carry. And I already discussed the Broncos' many woes against the run when I was talking about Roshan Johnson. So, you know, if you've got Khalil Herbert on your roster, you may as well start him here. This is the easiest matchup of the year. All right, what to do about Justin Fields? So it's been a disaster for fantasy owners who went to bat for Justin Fields through the first set of games. And you know, if you finally bench him, he's going to blow up right here. He's going to run for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. The best reason to keep him in your lineup is this. After getting 2 and then 3 designed runs through the first couple of weeks, he got 7 last week. We're here for the running for Justin Fields. Now, the Broncos held mobile quarterback Sam Howell to 13 rushing yards, but he had 0 designed runs in that game. Denver ranks 27th in pass rush by Pro Football Focus and dead last in pass block win rate. So Justin Fields should have time. Doesn't mean he's going to do anything with it, but I'm giving him a C grade here on just the totality of his opportunity. DJ Moore gets a C grade. Denver ranks 31st in pass coverage by Pro Football Focus, but Moore will draw the only competent cornerback on the team, Patrick Surtain, who's more than competent. He's borderline awesome in shadow coverage. Now, Surtain got worked last week, but he's proven over the course of his career to be very good, and he held the Washington and Las Vegas receivers to 16 yards and 17 yards in his coverage. It's potentially a tricky game for DJ Moore, only a C grade, and Cole Kmet is on the bench, diminishing targets, receptions, and yards in 3 games so far. For all of Denver's defensive woes, they've held down opposing tight ends, allowing just a modest 41 yards per game to the position. Cole Kmet, nothing special, on the bench. Let's go to Bucks taking on the Saints. Scott.
Yes. This is actually kind of one of my favorite matchups because we have Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore and all their drama.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you got Carlton Davis, who held Michael Thomas to 0 receptions and then called him Slant Boy on the other side.
I love it.
So we got some drama in the wide receiver, the cornerback matchups. Baker Mayfield, I do have on the bench, though. I love what Dave Canales has done, the OC hire from Seattle, who made Geno Smith be awesome last year.
Yeah.
He's really done it with Baker this year, too. But New Orleans is holding opposing quarterbacks to 203 in yards and 1 score stat lines. They rank 6th in defensive DVOA. And honestly, Baker's stats, I mean, he's averaging 212 yards and 1.3. Like, it's not even that spectacular, but it's better than
it's better than we expected, but this is not the matchup for it.
I do have Mike Evans with a C grade in that Marshawn, like, he's been A level all year, so a C grade is really low. It's just because it's Marshawn Lattimore, and we've seen a ton of benchworthy games and even ejections and fights from these two. Since 2017, he's scored 4 times in those 10 matchups against Lattimore, averaging about 65 yards each. Or was under, sorry, was under 65 yards in 8 of the 10. That's where the stat was.
Right on.
So C grade there. Hope you can get some in this better year for him. B grade on Chris Godwin. If Paulson Adebo goes, it may be tougher sledding, but he is dealing with a hamstring injury, so maybe not. You never know.
Yeah.
But he's allowing 6 catches for 71 scoreless yards. If not, it's Isaac Yiadom.
Yiadom? I think it's Yiadom.
It might be Yiadom, who allowed 4 for 30 in a score last week in replacement. So it's an okay spot for Chris Godwin. He usually has the better he scored more fantasy points than Evans in 4 straight of those Saints Lattimore matchups. So B grade there. Over to the other side, New Orleans Saints side. Derek Carr was kind of a take a chance on me hedge of mine.
Yeah, he really was.
Is that what it is? Because it's a decent matchup for quarterbacks there. I love Chris Olave. He's going to get an A grade for me. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson, 150 yards. DJ Moore, 104 yards. AJ Brown, 131 yards. The number ones are doing what they do against the Bucs defense.
Yeah.
And Chris Olave in general, 7 plus catches, 100 plus yards. He just hasn't every game. He just hasn't scored.
Right.
Well, he kind of scored, but he stepped out of bounds at the left. That cost me a game in our home league, Charge.
That did.
That step out did.
Ouch.
I'd be 3-0. Oh. I hate that. Hate that. I was high-fiving my son, and then
right.
Nope. His worst game is 6 for 86. That's
not
his
bad.
Worst game. So A grade there. Michael Thomas, C grade in that Carlton Davis matchup. He's got at least 5 for 50 yards in every game. Number 2 is against the Bucs. 61 yards, 36 yards, 58 yards, all 4 to 5 catches. Mm-hmm. That's good. All 3 scored. They're letting the number 2 score, and they're not letting none of the number 1 scored. All the number 2 scored. So it's kind of a weird situation.
So what do you think about the number 3, Rashid Shaheed? No. Now, he scored on a punt return. He scored in every game. Punt return last week, but no catches to go with it.
Carr missed them wide open downfield. It broke my heart.
Oh,
I have him on the bench, but if you want to dart throw him in a decent matchup, you can dart throw him. But I have a bench grade on him.
I don't think we have time to work in one more matchup.
Can I ask you one question then? If we're like, we got a minute here, right?
Yeah.
I told you I play in the league with Darren Waller, and I was going to offer Darren Waller to himself so I could get some inside information. I picked him 2 picks before he picked.
Yeah.
And he picked TJ Hockenson.
Uh-huh.
Can I trade him Darren Waller for TJ Hockenson straight up?
Because he has to take himself.
Yeah. Is he willing
Let's
to admit that
out.
TJ Hockenson is better than him? Is that what he's going
to
admit?
I want you to do it on this break, and then I want you to report back whether or not he actually takes the trade, because he kind of has to take himself, doesn't he?
I would think
TJ Hockenson is the highest scoring tight end in fantasy football. That would be great. Jameson Williams is coming back a week early. Now, he's probably locked in your system because he played on Thursday night. The Lions happen to have played Thursday night.
Yeah.
So you probably can't pick him up, but note that he's coming back. I think it could be slow to get him working back into the system because Josh Reynolds is good. Khalif Raymond's making big plays. I don't know that he walks into a big starting role very quickly.
I don't know either, but we do have to remember he averages 41 yards per catch.
Against the Vikings.
Against all teams. That's his only catch.
That's right.
And a touchdown on every play, on every catch.
That's right. Guillotine leagues are super fun, and we're still forming new guillotine leagues. You get to play for 15 more weeks. You know how it works. The low-scoring team gets chopped every week, and all the players go to the waiver wire where the rest of us build superstar rosters. It's guillotineleagues.com. Tons of fun, and you can still join a new league. Back for hour number 2 in moments.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hour number two, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Ciarchi and Scott Fish and Thor Nystrom with you. This is a game we like to call Three Tough Questions.
Tough question number one.
Is Derrick Henry cooked? Scott Fish.
Sure. Normally, I like to, you know, delve under the positive, but Spears got more snaps last week. The eyeball doesn't look as dominant. His metrics are down. He's always like been buoyed by these late in game wearing down of the defenses, or, you know, a big, huge play. He had that one big catch in week one, but that's it. Otherwise, mostly short runs. And even when he was wearing down in week two, 25 carries, he only got like 70 yards. He's not getting what he used to get to be dominant.
All right, so your yes, sure, works as a yes on this.
Sure.
Thor, is Derrick Henry cooked?
I would say he's medium rare cooked. Not fully cooked.
Well, that's medium rare.
That's barely cooked.
He's partially cooked. He's 17th in PFF run grade right now. He's 13th in yards after contact. They're obviously spelling him more, as Fish was alluding to before, and attempting to protect him more, and he's already starting to pick up some of these nagging injuries. Partially cooked, not all the way cooked.
The answer is yes. He is cooked. He's carried the ball 51 times. You know how many broken tackles he's got? 5.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, 5 broken tackles on 51 carries. In PFF's elusiveness rating, only 4 starting running backs are rated lower than Derrick Henry. In yards over expectation, Derrick Henry's a flat 0. Whoa. Guess who's 3rd running in the same offense?
Mr. Spears?
Tajay Spears is sitting behind Christian McCaffrey and Bijan Robinson.
Wow.
Last week, in a one-sided loss, granted it was a one-sided loss and they were behind early, Henry was on the field 11 snaps.
Oof.
Spears, 33 snaps.
Yep.
Holy cow. This is a very... And by the way, do you think Tennessee's going to fall behind frequently?
Sure.
Hell yeah, they are. This is, look, I'm not saying Derrick Henry will never have another good fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am telling you is the end is effectively here. Right. Derrick Henry you've enjoyed for the last 4 years, that's over. He's not the best running back on roster right now.
Tough question number two.
Alvin Kamara makes his return on Sunday. On balance, for the rest of the season, will Alvin Kamara be an RB1, RB2, flex, or will he be a bench player? We begin with Thor Nystrom.
I think he's a low-end RB1 the rest of the season. He has a skill set that they really, really need. You've seen, especially with the injuries when Williams didn't play, but even when Williams was playing, he was just trying to carve stuff out with the lack of explosion. Last week, you know, trying Kendrick Miller, trying some of these other guys, they really need him. The usage is going to dictate that low-end RB1 designation.
All right, Scott, Alvin Kamara, on balance for the rest of the season, will he be an RB1? An RB2,
yeah.
Flex, or bench.
I was right with Thor. I was like, low-end RB1, high-end RB2. I'm going to sit at RB2 just to hedge a little, I guess. He's got 5 bottom 7 matchups that are going to be great for him. Only 2 against top 10 defenses. Granted, we're working on a 3-game sample size, so a lot of that can change by the time it gets to him. But he's a guy who's likely to see 15-plus touches. That's what he did almost every week that he suited up last year. Averaged 19 touches per game last year. And he had Mark Ingram and David Johnson there. So even when Jamal Williams gets back, he should see the same type of touch load he got last year. 3 out of his 4 final weeks were RB1 weeks last year. I think he's going to be an RB2 quite often, and an RB1 a decent amount as well. But RB2 I'll go with, just high-end RB2.
Assuming Jamal Williams returns in 3 weeks, which is a huge factor in this, I think.
Yeah. He's better than old Mark Ingram from last year.
He is a lot better.
Yeah.
The most common grade Alvin Kamara is going to get the rest of the year is going to be B's.
Yeah.
And that makes him an RB2. Of course, you have Jamal Williams stealing goal line work, but you also have Taysom Hill stealing goal line work.
Sure.
And remember last year, do you guys remember how many games in which Alvin Kamara scored a touchdown last year?
No.
2.
Oh.
He scored in 2 games last year. That's it. Kendry Miller's now playing. That dilutes the backfield further. Tony Jones might still be a factor. Kamara's going to help via the pass because he's really gifted that way. But get this. Second half of last year, This was all Alvin Kamara was giving you through the air. Two catches for 22 yards, second half of last season. That's our most recent sample size. There's still a lot of reason for concern here at the touchdowns, maybe not as much help in the air game as we think, but still, starting running back for an NFL team, RB2.
Tough question number three.
Miami running back Devon Achane stunned everybody with four touchdowns last week. On balance, for the rest of the season, is he going to be an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or a bench player? Devon Achane. Scott Fish.
Devon Achane. It's going to take me a while to get used to that. It really is. I put flex. Given the injury history of Mostert, Wilson, and Ahmed, I think there's a decent chance he gets, you know, some okay workloads. It's on a, you know, a good offense. It's going to be a lot of scoring opportunities. His talent and skill set, especially for the scheme, that offensive scheme, all great. But there's going to be a lot of splitting. And Mike McDaniel himself, even this week, was like, I feel like we got a five running back rotation that he wants to utilize their skill sets differently for different teams so that teams can't, you know, plan for them. And that scares the crap out of us fantasy owners if that's his plan once Jeff Wilson gets back. To just be using all five of them like that. So I went with flex. He's going to have his moments.
All right, Thor. For Miami running back Devon Achane, on balance for the rest of the season, will he be an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or a bench?
I'm going to say RB2 on balance. Where I think it's going to come is like half the weeks you're going to get the RB1 production, that half the weeks it's going to be less than that, I think. But I think it's going to balance out to RB2 value. The whole thing with the platoon and the timeshare there, it's pragmatic with regards to Achane. I mean, at Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher found he kept wanting to give Achane all the touches because it was the only way the Aggies could generate offense. Well, Achane, end of last season, he missed two games with an injury. Mm-hmm. He'll get hurt. He's a 185-pounder. He's going to get hurt. I'm soaking wet. He's going to get hurt if they use him too much. So the timeshare thing works out for him. Some games, what he does is hit dingers. So when he does, like the last game, hits a couple of them, he's going to have the good value. There's other games where I don't think the ball's going to go over the fence, as it were.
So last week, he had the gigantic game. The Dolphins rolling up 70. On the hapless Broncos was an empty calorie box score for Miami's backups. Robbie Chosen in one of my guillotine leagues went for $90. Yeah, you know, come on. This is going to be that game. You know, we're influenced by what happened recently. The recency bias, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. We all have some recency bias here. Are you going to know when Devon Achane's big games are coming?
Not unless there's injuries.
That's the problem, right? You know, when they've got a healthy rotation of backs, you almost need guys like Ahmed to be out like he was last week, Wilson to be out like he was last week. That clarifies it. But that's not always going to be the case. He's still the backup to a running back who looks, frankly, amazing in Raheem Mostert. And, you know, you got to factor in Mostert's likelihood to get injured, too. But so, you know, he might as well. Love the burst. I love that he can catch. I also got to factor in Jeff Wilson returning from IR in 1 week from now, basically. We're just going to the flex level, and you might want to sell high, by the way, Devon Achane. Let's go back to the matchups. Bengals taking on the Titans. Joe Burrow completely off the injury report. Does that give Thor Nystrom some renewed interest in that passing game?
Well, so with Burrow, he's an interesting case this week. This is definitely an A matchup by, you know, any quantifiable. Yeah,
right.
Exactly, because of the awful Titans pass defense. But, of course, the Bengals have been getting the ball out super-duper quick to protect Burrow in the pocket. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I'm going to downgrade him to a B in this matchup. Ja'Marr Chase, though, of course, is an A and a weekly must-start. T. Higgins, I'm going to give him a grade of B. He's their downfield guy. He is not a yak guy. And the way that Burrow has been playing so far, getting the ball out so quick, it doesn't really facilitate those downfield looks for T. Higgins.
Yeah, and he's just not throwing well downfield. Maybe because of the injury, because he can't plant and drive it, but he's 2 for 17 on the season with an interception, throwing more than 15 yards.
15 yards isn't even that deep.
It isn't.
I mean, you know, what we generally call, you know, when we use the term deep, when we're talking analytically, it's usually 20 yards or more. I mean, 15's not even that deep, and you've completed two passes through three games.
Yep. 0 for 5, 2 for 7, and a pick.
And that bites into Higgins' game more than anybody else because he's your downfield jump ball kind of guy. I'm going to keep Tyler Boyd and then the banged up Cincinnati tight end room on the bench. Joe Mixon, we're going to give him the volume C grade here.
I love it.
75% plus of snaps in each of the last two games, average 18.5 touches and 82.5 total yards those games. But the Titans run defense is awesome. Number two stuff rate in the NFL this year. And of course, last year, as we've talked about a couple times, they were the number one run defense DVOA in the NFL. Moving to the Titans side of things, Ryan Tannehill, you're keeping on the bench. I think DeAndre Hopkins is the only potential startable guy in amongst the receiving corps. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him a volume C. Keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins was limited in practice Thursday. He did practice in full on Wednesday. Likely to play in this game, but only 9.8 PPR fantasy points per game. That's the second lowest of his career. But he already has 25 targets to easily lead the team this year. Second place, Treylon Burks has 13. Burks is out for this game. So is Kyle Phillips. So Hopkins is at least going to get the targets. Chigakonkwo, been disappointing so far.
Yes.
This is the breakout game.
Is it?
Oh, boy.
I like you calling it.
I'm going to give him a B. He only has 0.68 yards per route run this year and zero red zone targets. But again, I think this is where it changes. Against Cincinnati defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo's defense, if I can say that, what you do is you attack the tight ends and the slot receivers. They're really good against the boundary guys. This year, the Bengals have allowed the sixth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. I think Chig gets back on track in this one. We've talked a bit about Derrick Henry so far on this show. I'm going to give him a grade B, assuming that he plays. Of course, he has that turf toe injury, missed Thursday's practice, was limited earlier in the week. Last week did not look good, looked very sluggish, 20 total yards on 11 rushing attempts, zero touchdowns against the Browns. But this is a good matchup, assuming he plays against an average Bengals defensive line. But again, on the other hand of it, there's always a chance he gets game scripted if the Bengals jump out to a lead. Mm-hmm. Tajay Spears has been the receiving back. And speaking of Tajay, I'm going to give him a C, whereas I gave Henry a B. Tajay was Fish's pre-spec last week. I mentioned that Henry was limited in practice. Spears, of course, is his handcuff. He is also the Titans' undisputed receiving back. If Henry needs his workload cut down because of that toe, or the game script goes pass heavy, like we've seen in a couple of these other ones where all of a sudden Spears starts getting all the snaps, then Spears could be worth starting in flex in deeper leagues.
Yeah, see, my pre-specs are long play. They're going to pan out.
Eventually.
Thor over here is like, I'll give you immediate points. But
no, we don't want that over here. No. Ravens take on the Browns. Get this. The Browns are the number one defense in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position, the running back position, the wide receiver position, and the tight end.
Sounds like good defense.
That's an amazing
defense. They're also number one in defensive DVOA.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Shocking.
For Lamar Jackson, I was tempted to put him on the bench, and I couldn't quite do it. I've got the C grade on him. And part of it is because I love his whopping 73% completion rate. But some of that has come at the expense of downfield passing. His ADOT's just 7 yards. And really, everything else is bad news. Get a load of this. It's staggering. In three games, the Browns have allowed one passing touchdown, 101 passing yards per game, and -8 quarterback rushing yards. Unbelievable. He faced Cleveland once last year. He threw for 120 scoreless yards. Ran for 59. That's all I can do to get you to the C grade on Lamar Jackson, if something like that. He'll have to do it without Rashad Bateman and OBJ, who have both been ruled out for this game. Zay Flowers comes in with a C grade. Now, he runs from all parts of the field. Watches it, the injury status, though, of excellent cornerback Greg Newsome for the Browns. If he can't go, it helps Flowers a lot, because then he'll go to backup Cameron Mitchell. Normally just a special teams guy, and Mitchell allowed all three passes in his coverage to be completed last week. So Zay Flowers, we're not normally attuned to cornerback health, but if Greg Newsome goes, I'd consider benching Zay Flowers. If Newsome does not go, then I would start him with a C grade. Mark Andrews, production is way down. He has failed to top 45 yards in either of his two games.
Drop him.
And Cleveland has allowed the least fantasy points to tight ends this year. They've only allowed 26 yards to tight ends, not per game.
Wow.
On the season, 26 yards to the tight end position.
Jeez.
In two games last year, Andrews posted 0 yards against Cleveland and 31 yards against Cleveland and did not score.
Mm.
Only a C grade because of the wasteland of the position. Gus Edwards is on the bench, inexplicably just 11 carries last week with the undead corpse of Melvin Gordon getting 10 and averaging a full yard per carry less than Edwards, and yet they still kept trotting out Melvin Gordon. The Browns' run defense looks amazing. They're giving up 2.8 yards per carry, just 55 yards per game. No runner has scored against Cleveland. Edwards would need a goal line carry to get much of anything done here. Justice Hill might come back. Don't care. Melvin Gordon might play in this game. Don't care. They're out as well. Let's go to the Cleveland side. Jerome Ford immediately stepped into Nick Chubb's usage with 56% of the snaps. That was good. Kareem Hunt saw 20%, by the way. Ravens shut down Damian Pierce in the opener, but they've struggled against Joe Mixon and Zach Moss since then, and that gives you some glimmer of hope for Jerome Ford in this one. The Ravens have allowed only a single touchdown to opposing running backs, but they otherwise are middle of the pack in most running back defensive metrics. We'll go B grade on Jerome Ford. Deshaun Watson, we were optimistic about Watson in last week's easy matchup against Tennessee, much less so this week against a good but not great Baltimore secondary. You'll want to watch the health status of safety Marcus Williams and cornerback Marlon Humphrey. If they're both healthy enough to return, I think you just move Watson down to a bench grade. Otherwise, we'll go C grade here if they both miss another matchup. And I know you drafted Deshaun Watson for his rushing.
No.
But that's largely a misconception. He's averaging 2.5 designed runs a game. That's it. That's not enough to get it done on the ground.
He's just not good at any facet of his game.
No, honestly, he's not right now. How about Amari Cooper, who is good? He's reached the 7 reception mark in each of his last two games, and he's averaging 103 yards per game over that span.
And it's a home game.
Way better at home since the trade to Cleveland. The Ravens have allowed the most receptions to wideouts and the 8th most yards to wideouts. And Cooper's boasting a healthy 40% target share on the season. So we'll take a B grade.
And he should have had another touchdown.
Everybody else is on the bench, including David Njoku, averaging just 3 catches for 30 yards. He has not a good matchup. And the league's shortest average throw to any player is David Njoku at 1 yard. You know how hard it is to be fantasy relevant on 1 yard passes? Virtually impossible. We're going to try to squeeze in a shorty here. Thor, can you do Pats?
No.
Raiders Chargers. Can you do Raiders Chargers in 3 minutes or less? And if you can't, then we're going to push it to the next segment.
No, sure.
All right, good.
On the Raiders side, Jimmy Garoppolo was one of my 2 quarterback hedges for take a chance on me players, and so was Jacoby Myers, my wide receiver.
That helped.
Because this is a terrible defense against the pass. The Chargers and Derwin James, unlikely to play. Joey Bosa is questionable and might not play, so lose the pass rush, too.
Yeah.
Davante Adams, automatic A. We don't need to talk about him. Let's go to the run game for the Las Vegas Raiders. I almost said Oakland. Oakland versus San Diego here. Josh Jacobs has been really inefficient. He's had 4 carries inside the 5, converted none. He's averaging 18 touches per game playing that bell cow role, 80% of snaps. So I am going to give him the B grade, even though his rates in yards per carry, missed tackles, yards after contact, all that is really low. When you're getting 18 to 20 touches, you can almost pencil in a C, if not a B. High volume, inefficient, mediocre backs have destroyed the Chargers. As Derrick Henry and Alexander Mattison have shown in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So B grade for Josh Jacobs. Over to the Chargers side, Justin Herbert is an automatic A, I believe, as well. Same as Keenan Allen, but I can go into how they're, the Raiders are 5th worst in defensive DVOA. They don't even pressure, 3rd worst pressure rate. Yeah. So Herbert's going to have time to throw, unlike the blitzes that the Vikings sent it. He's going to have more time to adjust. Over also with the wide receivers, Joshua Palmer, he's going to immediately fill in there. He did at the end of last week. He 60% snap share to Johnston's 22% after Mike Williams went out. He was the guy that came in. He's the replacement. Had some good games in that replacement role for each of Allen and Williams last year. Raiders, I already mentioned, bad pass defense DVOA wise. They're also top 5 in pace of play, which means there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. Also, Josh Palmer, historically very good against man coverage, seen a 21% target share. Raiders play a lot of man.
Yeah.
So it's a good spot for him. They've allowed 5 wide receiver touchdowns in the last this season. 4 went to the number 2 wide receiver, which Josh Palmer will be.
Yes.
The last thing I'll touch on quickly is Donald Parham. I have a bench grade on him. but he leads the NFL in, like, tied for the lead in targets inside the five. This is a top five matchup against tight ends. He might see another red zone target and touchdown. If you're really, really desperate, he might see a touchdown.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Patriots take on the Cowboys. Ramondre Stevenson. It's been an inconsistent season so far. Maybe that might even be a nice word for what we've gotten out of Ramondre Stevenson. Find out if Thor Nystrom thinks that a bounce back is coming against a normally tough Cowboys defense. We'll get our intel on that. And for the Cowboys, tricky matchup in a variety of ways for them, too. What do you want to do with Dak Prescott coming off a dud game?
Ooh.
Find out when we come back for another segment of Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Another block O matchups for you. Beginning with the Patriots taking on the Cowboys, Thor. Let's start with the running game for the Patriots and Ramondre Stevenson.
We're going to give him a grade B in this game because even though he's only averaging 2.9 yards per carry to this point, he obviously averaged 5 yards per carry last year. And this year he ranks RB16 in PPR scoring despite his struggles. And I'm bullish on a turnaround for him. The Patriots passing game, however, I'm not bullish on a turnaround for that. Everyone is on the bench for me in there except for Hunter Henry. I'm willing to give him a volume C in this. The good news is number 17 in target share amongst tight ends. The bad news is the Cowboys allow the 9th lowest yards per reception to opposing tight ends. I'm also going to keep Ezekiel Elliott on the bench in his revenge game, 6.1 PPR points per game for Ezekiel Elliott. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott, I'm giving him a C, under 17 fantasy points in 2 of his 3 games so far. Obviously, he was bad against the Cardinals last week. Obviously, the Cowboys' offensive line is banged up. The Patriots have not allowed a quarterback to throw for 250-plus yards this season, but we'll give Dak a C. CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard are both obviously must-starts. I'm keeping Brandon Cooks and Michael Gallup and Jake Ferguson on the bench. Rico Dowdle, though, is a guy I'm willing to take a chance on. That's why it was my take a chance on me running back.
All right, Commanders taking on the Eagles. It's time to break down a little Sam Howell. The league's most sacked quarterback faces the Eagles' pass rush. That does not sound good. Yet, through sheer volume, Howell could be a desperation fantasy start. Nobody can run on the Eagles, so teams are passing copiously 41 times per game, 4th most, and a staggering 73% pass rate, 2nd most in the league against Philly. They're actually giving up the 8th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They're not running Sam Howell, which is a real killer for part of the reason I was so optimistic about him. In the preseason, C grade for Sam Howell, C grade for Terry McLaurin, who crushed the Eagles last year with 100-yard games in both matchups. Most impressively, half those catches and over half of those yards came against Darius Slay. So even if he goes on the Slay ride this year, you can still beat it. C grade for Terry McLaurin. And everybody else is on the bench, including both running backs, Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. Eagles ranked number 1 against the run by Pro Football Focus. They've allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs, including 0 touchdowns. And they're giving up 2.8 yards per carry, best in the league. So Robinson, Gibson on the bench for Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, obvious A. I don't think we need to expend a lot more time on that, but I will mention that opponents are running through the Commanders. Opposing quarterbacks are running through the Commanders, and Jalen Hurts is next up. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown get B grades here. Mm. Smith scored in both games last year. Washington favors zone coverage, and Smith fares much better against zone. 12 catches versus zone this year already. Just three against man coverage so far for Smith. I like him. A.J. Brown comes in with the B grade as well. Rookie Emmanuel Forbes is the better matchup that he's going to get a lot, but his bigger size makes him one of the few corners who could potentially match up with Brown, but he's just a rookie making his fourth NFL start, and Brown gets the advantage here for sure. Forbes allowing a 75% catch rate. And Dallas Goedert, staying with the passing game for a minute. Yeah, that's a safe sigh right there. Here's his yardage totals in three games. 0, 22, and 41 yards. Mm. Not great.
Oh, so he's... So this
trending
is this
up.
Is this going to be 60 or 80? Is it doubling
exactly.
or adding 20?
Roughly that. The good news is he's running a lot of routes. He's getting targets, but they're all short targets. He's averaging less than 6 yards per catch. Commanders have only allowed 41 receiving yards to tight ends total this year. That includes the eighth least fantasy points to tight ends. He's only gotten one red zone target. Earlier in the show, I said zero. He's gotten one red zone target on the year. That's it for Dallas Goedert, and I can only get him to a C grade here.
Okay.
And then lastly, DeAndre Swift, averaging 7 yards per carry, running behind Pro Football Focus's top-ranked run block unit, featuring the league's highest run block win rate of 78%. It's all positive there. Swift leads the Eagles in backfield in targets, and he leads all Philly runners in red zone carries, and that includes Jalen Hurts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Washington just gave up almost 7 yards per carry to James Cook. The only reason I can't give you an A grade on DeAndre Swift is because his quarterback steals his up-close rushing touchdown.
DeAndre Swift went down at the one-yard line 3 times this season, and Hurts got the touchdown after it.
Oh, man. Jeez. All right, Scott, let's see. What's next is...
Arizona taking on the San Francisco 49ers.
Before you get to that, we missed out on Josh Kelly from the previous segment. You want to give us a quick 20 seconds on Josh Kelly?
Yeah, we can. I do have a C grade on him because it's the fourth easiest matchup for running backs facing those Raiders. But it's mostly due to volume. The last two games though, 11 carries, 12 yards, mm-hmm. 13 carries, 39 yards. Even with the volume, he didn't do well.
Right.
And even the matchup, 233 yards and 2 scores were the Bills against the Raiders. They are most of what makes up that bad ranking.
That's right.
So the best I could give him is a C grade on 10 to 15 touches because he's going to get 82% of the carries.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the Cardinals taking on the 49ers. Cardinals offense, not as dreadful as to be expected.
No.
But
well,
the 49ers matchup is just brutal.
Yeah, the 49ers rank 4th in defensive DVOA behind the Browns, Bills, and Cowboys. They're right up there. And we saw what the Cowboys did with the Cardinals last week. But I got Joshua Dobbs on the bench. I got all the pass catchers on the bench. Marquise Brown may not play, but if he does go, like, he's going to get matched up with Lenore or Charvarius Ward. And both of those guys, 76 passer rating against, 59 passer rating against. It's not a good matchup for Marquise Brown. Michael Wilson, no. Rondell Moore, no. Zach Ertz, no tight end. His top 20 yards against the 49ers. And he has declined in snaps, targets, and catches 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So he's on the bench. James Conner is getting a C grade here. He's one of those rare, true bell cow horse whatever workhorse backs. He's averaging over 20 Mongos? Touches per game, but San Francisco's allowing the fewest rushing yards to back. James Conner is 4th in explosive run rate though, so if he can peel off a couple and he gets enough volume, he's converted two of his 3 carries inside the 5 for touchdowns.
Good.
He's got some positive stuff there. I'll give him the C grade. Over on the other side, Brock Purdy gets the C grade. 49ers may win big, but how do they get there? You know,
right.
Brock Purdy gets 2 touchdowns all but one game. That, you know, like every single, he started 8 games. He's gotten 2 touchdowns or more in 7 of those 8 games. I'm giving him the C grade. I think he gets his stats on the way to getting there. Christian McCaffrey is an automatic A at this point. Elijah Mitchell was my take a chance on me player. I think there's room for him at the end of this game to make some hay. Over into the passing game. Deebo Samuel, if he goes I'm going to give a B grade to. He missed practice both the last couple days of the week, but they still think he might go. Arizona plays zone, and that's not only where Deebo Samuel shines. He has a 40% first read share.
That's awesome.
When they face up against zone coverages and Deebo's, and meaning when they drop back to back and they see it's zone and Deebo Samuel's out there, Deebo is the first read. They look to him first.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. B grade there. Brandon Ayuk limited on Thursday, but Friday it looks like he's good to go now.
Friday.
Yeah.
Love it.
He's going to get either Ketrell Clark or Marco Wilson for most of his plays there. 100 passer rating allowed for Clark. 130.4 passer rating allowed for Mills Wilson. I have a B grade on Ayuk. Mm-hmm. If Samuel doesn't go, you could bump me up to an A on Ayuk.
I wouldn't blame you.
George Kittle, A grade. Listen to this. He has 5 touchdowns in his last 3 games against the Cardinals. That includes back-to-back 2-touchdown games. He has 8 touchdowns in his last 5 games without Deebo Samuel.
Oh!
That includes
your angle.
3 of those with 2 scores. So if Deebo doesn't go, I got an A grade on Kittle either way.
Okay.
But if Deebo doesn't go, like, launch him into it's just wheels up. Wheels up.
When we come back, premature speculation. We'll jump in the Fantasy Football Weekly time machine to tell you players you'll want to pick up now that everybody else will be trying to pick up next week. When we come back, Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. If you haven't joined the Guillotine League yet, we highly encourage you to do exactly that. It's super fun, and you can start a new season-long league right now at guillotineleagues.com. You'll still get to play for 15 more weeks. You're a regular listener to this show, so you know how it works. Every week, the bottom-scoring team gets chopped. All the players go to the waiver wire, and the rest of us build superstar rosters for the rest of the season. All you have to do is not finish last. No, none of that pesky head-to-head matchup stuff. Just don't finish last. That's it.
We're still alive in ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm alive.
I'm alive.
I had to spend a little this week.
I have not spent yet.
Yeah. I did a little spending. Yeah. I didn't want to, but sometimes you got to do it.
My starting lineup's fine. My bench is terrible.
Yeah,
I have 0 points on my bench.
Well, probably better that than to lose with points on your bench, which happened a lot with people with Devon Achan.
Yeah.
Right?
We should do some kind of bet who lasts longer.
Between the two of us?
We'll think
of
something.
I don't know if I like my roster well enough for that. I am right now. We'll see. And that league I've never done well in, that particular one, for whatever reason.
I came in second 2 years ago in that one.
Premature speculation is where we give you players that you'll want to pick up now that other people will be trying to pick up later. We begin with Scott Fish. Who you got?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go with Josh Downs. And I actually thought he was a waiver wire pickup this last week, but his rostership jumped like up to 8% or something.
Yeah, that's it.
It's right. Barely anything. He had 12. He had you know, 24 targets in 3 weeks, increasing catches, snaps, target share, everything increasing, 88% route participation. He's the main slot guy on a team that plays one of the highest percentages of three wide receiver sets. He should be rostered. I'm not saying start him every week, but there's going to be matchups for him going forward. I'm going to add one extra one in there. Just throw in there Keaton Mitchell. Speedy guy out of East Carolina. Yeah. I know that Thor calls him like discount Devon Achan. that Baltimore backfield, you know, he can make some work. You know, there's a lot of questions there. There's room for him to jump up.
All right. Your premature speculation player, Thor.
It's not going to be as good as my last two, Puka Nacua and Jaden Reed. This
no,
one,
you can't really top that.
I can't top that. So lower your expectations.
We got to give you a little of that. You've earned the peacock, baby.
This one is more of a long-term one that could hit. I'm going with Raiders running back Zamir White. Obviously will not be a stud this coming week like those other guys were, but he is absolutely worth a stash. The Raiders' upcoming schedule is absolutely amazing, which you should keep in mind for all their players. Chargers, Packers, Patriots, Bears, Lions, Giants, Jets, Dolphins. Sets up really well. Josh Jacobs is not playing well right now. Mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs, number 37 PFF grade out of 56 qualifiers. Jacobs is also, and you hate putting this out in the universe, it's just a fact, though, elevated injury risk following a league-leading 393 touches last season. If Jacobs were to go down, Zamir White would become the undisputed workhorse of this offense and would be worth a lot in fantasy world.
Would he be any good?
Zamir White?
Yeah. Say if he's a lead back, can he be a workhorse back?
He can handle the load for sure. Yeah, the receiving stuff is the one thing I would question, but grinding out the yards, the goal line guy for sure. Okay. He can do your meat and potato stuff, absolutely.
Fantastic. My premature speculation players, Miami running back Jeff Wilson, who at this time next week will be off the IR.
Yep.
And that muddies the backfield, but here's the deal. Those are guys who all get hurt constantly. Raheem Mostert hurt all the time. Jeff Wilson, you'll remember, has the San Francisco roots, got traded to Miami middle of last season, and promptly from that trade forward, he averaged 10 carries per game and almost 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, he's
in
this more effective than Mostert was.
He was more effective than Mostert was. Yeah, he can catch a little, not a gifted receiver, but he can catch a little as well. You know, Jeff Wilson, if you believe all the injury stuff's going to happen, you might just have a guy that you could plug in for some big volume here and there.
Yep, pick him up, throw him on IR. By the way, Keaton Mitchell also on IR. That's why he hasn't factored in since the injury to J.K. Dobbins.
Right,
you can pick him up and put him on IR for a week, and he's not even taking him.
Some will let you do that. Some
will, some
don't.
Won't.
Yahoo does, I think. I think ESPN does not let you go directly from IR or in free agency right to IR. But we've got two more matchups left to get to, including the Monday nighter. That's the Seahawks taking on the Giants. Thor, to this point, the Seahawks running game behind Kenneth Walker has been really nice.
Sure has, yeah. And Kenneth Walker becoming a weekly must-start here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, grade A for sure for Kenneth Walker. He's averaging 18.4 touches per game, 92.3 total yards per game on between 51 and 63% of the snaps, depending on the game. Number 11 in the NFL in missed tackles forced per attempt. The Giants, on the other hand, this week's opponent, they rank number 18 in yards after contact per attempt allowed to the opposing running backs. So I'm giving Kenneth Walker an A. Charbonnet, I'm going to advise people to keep him on your bench, but he's absolutely someone to keep an eye on. Last week, his snaps jumped all the way up to 43%, and Charbonnet has 5 red zone carries. So someone to keep an eye on, but in this game, I would advise the bench for him unless you're in a super-duper deep league. DK Metcalf, must start, grade of A here. Giants run a lot of man coverage concepts. DK eats that alive. 61% air yard share versus man coverage for the Seahawks. Tyler Lockett, on the other hand, I'm going to give him a B. Not quite as good of a matchup for him. As we've talked about in the past, Lockett is Seattle's zone beater.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Giants are man-heavy here. But Lockett will run a majority of his routes against Giants cornerbacks Trey Hawkins and Deontay Banks, the rookie. Mm. Both those guys have allowed quarterback ratings on targets over 95 flat. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, got to give him a bench grade, middling 13.6 target share and 2.2 ADOT. Not the best yet. They're still waiting for his wrist to heal and different stuff like that. Bench all the Seahawks tight ends. And then as far as the Giants, Daniel Jones, I'm going to give him an A grade for this game.
Ooh,
he hasn't been great this year.
What?
I will say, but the legs set a very high floor, and they certainly will in this game. Daniel Jones, top five amongst quarterbacks in carries per game, red zone carries per game, and rushing yards per game. The Seahawks allow the eighth most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. All the usage is going to get funneled through Daniel Jones, and then by extension, Darren Waller. Because of that, I have to advise you have to bench all the Giants wide receivers in this game.
Okay, wait, but you just gave Daniel Jones an A grade and a bench
it's
for all
split
of his
up
targets.
All the way.
It's all on the ground for Daniel Jones?
I think Daniel Jones' utility in this game, yeah, it comes through the rushing and a rushing touchdown, at least one of them. Darren Waller, he is the dude that you want to start for, as far as the pass catchers. Giving him a grade of A in this one. Tight end 10 in fantasy so far. But number six target share amongst NFL tight ends. And this is a fabulous matchup for Darren Waller, which is one of the reasons it's just going to be all the usage funneled to him. And then the Giants receivers are a hodgepodge as always. The Seahawks allow the highest yards per reception to opposing tight ends in the entire NFL. Mm.
Man, do we need this. Darren Waller managers, do they need a big game.
This is why you need to do that offer for TJ Hawkinson to Darren Waller. If he accepts that, you know that he loves his matchup this week. Saquon Barkley, I'm giving him a grade of B. Return to practice in a limited capacity on Thursday. Of course, he missed last week with a grade 2 high ankle sprain. But if he plays, and I'm assuming that he will, I'm giving him a B here. The Seahawks run defense allowing 2.9 yards per carry after allowing 4.9 last year. It has gotten a lot better early on, so maybe not quite as good of a matchup here for Saquon as you otherwise would think. But the Seahawks, we talked about this in the past, too. Their pass defense stinks against receiving running backs, so I think Saquon's going to get a lot of receiving production in this game. If Barkley somehow didn't play, Matt Breida would become a desperation play. But last week when Barkley didn't, Breida only had 7 touches for 18 yards as the Giants' RB1. He did score a touchdown to sort of salvage, like, flex.
Right, that was all, that's all he had going
for
him.
That's it.
Who was the other, the big running back that they used a couple of times in that game? Brightwell or something?
Gary Brightwell.
Yeah, from Arizona, yeah.
That guy's a freaking beast. At least he's built.
He'll fight you.
Yeah, he will fight you.
I have a Giants wide receiver question since he threw them all on the bench, and that's fine.
You start Slayton?
No. Okay. Wandale Robinson got his first play of the year, first play time of the year last week.
Yeah.
11 snaps. 5 targets, 4 catches on 11 snaps. Now, or 11%. Whatever it is. But if you extrapolate that, that's like 40 catches if he plays the whole game.
But it tells you, I mean, they were clearly trying to scheme him the ball in his return.
That's actually more my actually.
He could be.
22% of snaps, 11 snaps.
I think at the end of one of the Giants receivers will be startable. It's just impossible to say which. They just have a bunch of slot receivers, and you know it's situational. Yeah. And
my question was just: Do you think that's something, or just the one game?
I think
is there something there?
Too much, too many
something
guys
to
in
monitor.
The slot. Too many guys in the slot.
But yeah, I don't know that it has predictive value week to week here.
Yeah.
Jets take on the Chiefs Sunday night. Mahomes and Kelce are obvious A's that we do not need to spend time on. And here's the painful part: is there's no other receiver to start. You know, last week it's the Bears. So I'm like, go ahead and start MVS. Let's take a flyer. If not now, when? He's the leading receiver by snaps, by targets. Go get him. Didn't do much of anything. None of them do. No chief receiver was able to stand out against the Bears corner. So we're not going to roll the dice in them succeeding against Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. So they're out. So that only leaves me to talk about Isaiah Pacheco. His touches have increased in each game.
Mm-hmm.
He's putting some distance between himself and CEH, who was pesky early on. The Jets are allowing the 7th most rushing yards and the 5th most receiving yards to opposing running backs. Good for 144 total yards per game. Pacheco should get most of that, 144.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's offensive line is a top 10 run block win rate, and the Jets have a bottom 10 run stuff win rate. So it should be a dominating run performance here. The Jets are seeing a lot of runs as opponents get ahead early. Zach Wilson cannot mount a comeback, and then the Jets just get run on for the rest of the game, and that should be the formula here. Isaiah Pacheco, A grade
Boom.
In this game.
Boom.
I like his chances. Let's go to the Jets. Now, at the 3.5 weeks ago, when you were looking at the Jets, you thought there were probably like 5 rosterable guys, and you were like, you know, we could go, you know, we could throw in a little, I don't know, Tyler Conklin even if we needed to. That's all dried up.
Conklin.
There's only 2 guys that you care about now, and that's Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson. Let's start with Breece Hall, who gets a C grade. He's got 153 rushing yards on the season, 157 after contact. He's so good, though. He leads the league in yards after contact, and he's over 4 yards per carry after contact. But if you take away that 83-yard run that he had in week one against Buffalo, Breece Hall's only been able to average 2.8 yards per carry. That's it. Because defenses stack to stop Breece Hall because he's literally like the only threat on the team.
Yep.
Well, as long as Zach Wilson is at the helm. Chiefs are allowing the eighth fewest total yards to opposing running backs, including shutting down Travis Etienne and Khalil Herbert for the past 2 weeks. He's only getting 2 targets per game, which is unfortunate because he was 5 targets per game last year, and they're just not throwing to Breece Hall, which is sad because that would have been another avenue for him, but it's not one here, unfortunately. So just the C grade on him. And, of course, Garrett Wilson's awesome, but his situation couldn't be worse. Now, to his credit, he's managed touchdowns in 2 of 3 games, and he's been targeted 8 and 9 times the past 2 weeks. So the Jets are trying to manufacture touches for Wilson, which we gratefully appreciate. Unfortunately, this is a tough matchup. Kansas City's 2 outside corners, L'Jarius Sneed and Joshua Williams, have allowed 40 scoreless yards per game combined in the first 3 games. They have been lights out. I can only get you to a C grade on Garrett Wilson, and that is a sad story of woe for what should have been a great season for Garrett Wilson.
Wide receiver 27 on the year.
We thought he'd be 7.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or two or seven, yeah. Not 27.
Exactly.
All right. We got a couple of minutes here. Let me hit you with a couple of quick hitters. Jahmyr Gibbs owners are apoplectic about what went down on Thursday. Do you believe that is indicative of what you can expect going forward from the Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery timeshare?
I can go first. Probably for a bit. Like, you look at the Lions schedule, and I have them as possible favorites in a lot of them, which would be game script for Montgomery. They're going to use Gibbs, but they don't need to bring him along. They don't need him, what he brings to the pass game right now. They can just use Montgomery in that positive game script.
All right. Thor, you feel any differently?
The usage has been really dumb so far. I'm still bullish on Gibbs.
Oh, I am too. Yeah. I just don't think they need to, use him yet.
You can't be upset when David Montgomery's scoring the touchdowns when David Montgomery was going to score the touchdowns. I know you want more total touches from Gibbs. It probably will come along. Remember, the Lions staked out a big early lead and then just went into grind mode.
That's
on
right.
The ground. That's not going to happen every game, although their schedule is cake. The rest of the season. The Lions might be favored in all but one of the rest of their games for this year. Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. As always, we encourage you to get all of my player rankings available for free at guillotineleagues.com and go ahead and join another fantasy league. Why not? New season starting now at guillotineleagues.com. Talk to you in a week, everybody. Bye-bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.